Welcome. This is Cascade Church Portland's podcast. We exist to invite all people to join us as we follow Jesus together in bringing heaven to earth.
All right. I got nothing. I got to be honest. Came this Sunday for kickoff Sunday. I was like just drawing blanks. I don't know what we're going to do for this Sunday. I'm half kidding. I'm half kidding when I say, because it's so hard as we go into this to try and talk about and articulate why does this church exist? If you're new to the story, if you don't know, we've been here for just a little bit over a year. We started in June of last summer. And when we first got started, there was this kind of pulse. There was this thing, there was this feeling that the way that we do church in Portland and the way we think about God and engage faith, it has to be different. There has to be another way of talking about this. There has to be another way of forming a community where people don't feel excluded. That people don't feel like there's a toll that you have to pay to walk into a church building. That people don't feel like this isn't a safe place to ask questions. That this is a place for certainty and knowing and having all the answers. And we come to celebrate how right we are and how wrong everyone else is. And so far, I haven't found a church that puts all those things that I just shared into their statement of faith, right? That's not like a thing that they celebrate. But there's this sense, there's this feeling. And so that's why we started this place. We wanted to try and do something different. And the doing something different isn't about the actual function of church. We still worship. We still have prayer. We still take communion. We still have someone come up and share a message. And so how do we articulate the thing that's different about us when most of us come up and say, yep, that was church. I've been there before. I've done that before. And so that's what we want to talk about this Sunday. The things that we're going to share is we kind of talk about our core values. These aren't things that we have mandated from on high. We didn't walk up to Mount Sinai and get them on tablets to deliver to you. Rather, we've gone about the work of trying to articulate the thing that we've already felt within our community. And we're going to try and say, these are the things that we've already kind of felt and experienced, and we just want to put language to it so we can say, this is what we're about. This is who we are, and this is where we want to go. We want to deepen these channels. We want to see these things grow more and more. So to start our conversation, we start with the idea of tribalism. See, going back to people in their very beginning and all people that exist now, there's this idea of being a part of a tribe that holds a lot of weight, that holds a lot of value. And we have tribes that we're born into, and we have tribes that we join into. Go talk to a graduate of some of the larger state schools in our country, and you get this sense of tribe, of identity, of origin. You can't drive around town and not see the tribalism emblazoned on the back of tons and tons of cars, right? And I grew up in the Central Valley of California where we didn't have this thing. This like state rival, Oregon State, like wasn't a thing where I grew up. Where I grew up, it was Cal versus Stanford. And we were like, who's got time for that? I'm not smart enough to understand that rivalry. Like that's just another thing that exists over there. But here, as you drive around, it's like ducks and beavers is a thing. Huskies and cougars is a thing. And you hold on to this identity because it allows you to know who you are, where you find safety, and who they are, and how I can root against them, right? Wish harm for them and their institution where they received a degree. And this goes in the same way to our families, regions of the country where we grew up. See, identity is so hard to come by. Who are you? That's a scary question. Who am I really? And do I belong? Do I belong in my family? Do I belong in a place of employment? Your work? Do I belong in the city? And so we grab at identifiers that let us know I'm safe, and I belong. I'm a part of something. Now, this is a tale as old as time. And in fact, earliest understandings of religion is this. And how you would identify your people is this is our God. Our God does this. Our God is about this. And how you would differentiate yourself is our God will help us defeat you and your God. This tribal understanding of God. Everyone has their own gods, and we settle it on the battlefield. Whoever kills the other people, whoever can do battle and defeat the other tribe, well, clearly that God was on our side. Did you see the results? And as we step into football season, we will experience this all over again, right? With only marginally less carnage. We have this way of understanding that my God helps me and my thing, and it differentiates me from all of you. But something fascinating happened in the history of humanity. A man named Abraham walked away from a tribal understanding of God within his family, and he was called by God, one God of all people. It's a game changer. Everyone has their own gods, but this is the God. And this way of understanding is this God and his relationship with Abraham was supposed to be the blessing, was supposed to be the encouragement, was supposed to be the way that all the world knew that they were weaved into one tapestry, one family, one origin and maker. And this God has fit you together for blessing. The Jewish word of shalom, the peaceful thriving of all people, that your success in finding who God created you to be does not come at the expense of someone else. Beautiful. But you know what? It's really hard to step out of that tribalism thing. And so it started to morph. It started to change in such a way where we're like, yes, the one God, which just means all your gods are wrong. All your gods don't exist. You're making up your gods. And so our God will still ultimately help us defeat you and your gods. See, the idea of one God behind everything should shatter tribalism, but it did the opposite. It reinforced it because it felt like, oh, we just stepped into like uber tribalism God. We just have the best one, right? We've climbed to the top of the heap, and this is our understanding of God. But then breaks into the history of humanity a person named Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes to say, no, 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 no. We've got it wrong again. You've turned the Nayan tribal God back into the tribal God. It's not about that. This message is for all people, that all people may be saved, that all people may know who made them and how God is calling them to engage in humanity. And there's a salvation through Jesus Christ. There's a way of redeeming and reconciling the world to one another. There is no understating, if you have any, if you read the Bible, if you know the Bible, the transition from after the time of Jesus, from the tribal understanding of the Jewish God to letting the Christian community, letting Gentiles in, is a game changer. We talk about it like, why was that so hard for them? It was impossible for them to wrap their heads around because we're so ingrained with the tribal. We're so ingrained with my thing, my people, my God. And Jesus tore down those walls again. One God, the God of all people. You don't get to hate your neighbors anymore. This whole concept of enemy, that these are my friends and these are the enemies. Christ came to say, what are you talking about? One God, creating all people. You don't get to do that anymore. And so I think there is probably about half a second where we got it. We're like, yes, Jews and Gentiles, we call and invite all people to this better message of hope that God is redeeming all the world and calling us to understand one God, not to defeat the other, but to love, to serve, to offer hope and grace to one another. And yet, it feels like on Sunday morning, we've slipped back into tribalism. We've just put new names on it. Oh, you go to the Methodist church, do you? Oh, you go to the Presbyterian church. You're Catholic. I don't even know if they're Christians. You're Muslim over there. You're Seventh-day Adventist. Oh, you're Mormon. We've re-tribalized this understanding of God, or maybe it already existed, it didn't go anywhere, but we further entrenched. And what's fascinating about Christianity is, after the time of Jesus, do you know how many denominations there were? One. When we talk about the Catholic Church, that's a name we put out now, it was just the church, period. That was the church. And then we have this Protestant Reformation that Martin Luther posts these theses, and we split and we further fragment and fragment and fragment. Why did we start Cascade? Because enough is enough. There's one God. This is a transformational message for all people. That no longer do we have to be tribal. No longer did we build a church and start this place because we're right. What do I know? Right? That's actually not even the goal, because right isn't something that we think we can come by. Instead, we say there's one God, the world is a huge mystery, and I don't understand most of it. And any certainty I try and carve out and say, well, it's this way and this thing and this God, is a lie that I use to deceive myself that I know and everyone else is wrong. Now, we still have core that we follow, and we do. How have we experienced it, and how do we share that? Jesus Christ is a God who came to redeem and understand that his death and resurrection is the framework for all of our experience, that all of life is death and resurrection. All of life is this understanding that things die, that there is suffering, that things fall apart, and that God is bringing all things back together. Yes. But I don't use that, and we don't want to use that as a hammer with which to beat other people and how wrong they are, but we use that as an opportunity to love and engage. And we ask lots of questions as a community. Tell me about what you believe. Tell me about where you grew up. Tell me about your perspective, your worldview, and how you got here, wherever here is. When you do all that, you still kind of have worship and communion. Like, we didn't throw out all the things that are normally church. But the thing that's backing behind it all is different. And so with that understanding, that's the backdrop, the thing we need to understand as we talk this morning about five key values that we've articulated that are still loose. We're still wrestling with them. We're still looking at them and saying, did we capture the thing that we're trying to capture when we talk about Cascade and this place? So let's look at them. The first is this. We want to be a community that is marked by intentionality. Intentionality is intentionally broad. It means we're intentional about the things we plan, the things we do, the conversations we have, and how we engage each other. But that broad intentionality ultimately drives to one thing. You see it here. We engage in relationships a step beyond what is known or comfortable. I was recently meeting with some other pastors, some people, and some of the people I met, they used this language I thought was fascinating when they talked about relationships and they talked about tough conversations. I'll be honest with you, most of my life is spent avoiding tough conversations. I'm like, I really don't want to have that conversation. I really don't want to talk about that thing. And at times, folks have said things that have been hurtful or confusing or damaging. I'm like, let's just give them the benefit of the doubt and keep right on rolling. And the language they used about relationship is, what does it mean to engage in relationship 2 seconds beyond where you're comfortable? I thought that was fascinating, Because when it comes to having the tough conversations I don't want to have, I just don't have them. I just avoid it altogether. But what does it look like to lean in 2 seconds longer? So maybe that 2 seconds is enough to initiate a conversation I normally wouldn't want to have. Maybe that 2 seconds longer is to ask a question and to wait 2 seconds longer before filling the silence because it got weird or it got awkward. Maybe that 2 seconds longer is walking next door and introducing yourself to your neighbor. Maybe that 2 seconds longer is asking one more question of that person that you think is so weird and there's a reason why no one wants to be around them. But you ask them a question about their day and where they came from. We think that relationships are something that involve an intention, a part of ourselves where we actually show up and we're present in one another's lives. It doesn't happen by accident. We all love relationships, but we just want it to kind of happen. I think we've fallen into the relational trap that is the driving theme of all romantic comedies. It will just kind of happen, happenstance and luck. And I'll meet this person and we'll have this amazing relationship without a tough conversation or a misunderstanding or hurt feelings. What does it mean for us to lean in 2 seconds longer? Because on the other side of that is something more beautiful than what we normally settle for. Maybe not you. You might already be leaning 5 seconds in. Me. There's something more beautiful on the other side of 2 seconds than I have often settled for in relationships. The next thing we mark as a value is diversity. Now, this word for a lot of people is incredibly loaded. See, usually diversity comes down to one kind of diversity, right? I know that for myself, when I first hear the word diversity, I think racially. And as a community, yes, we want to reflect racial diversity in our community. But it's more than just that. It's diversity of age. It's diversity of socioeconomics. It's diversity of background. It's diversity of education. It's a diversity of all kinds of stuff. And why? Why do we value diversity? Because we better understand God when we live in a community of people who are different from each other. Last week, when we were talking about community, I brought up the phrase echo chambers. Usually, we love echo chambers. I say out this thing, and I just hear it back, and it's like, I'm totally right. That's awesome. That feels great. Have you ever had that moment where you're hanging out with people, and you're like, this is a safe group, and you say something like, go Ducks, and people are like, what? We're all Beaver fans here. Like, what are you talking about? And all of a sudden, you start to feel this like, oh, I am in the wrong place, right? I am with the wrong people. See, at Cascade, we don't want to create that as a tolerance. We want to create that as a value. That when you say something and people are like, oh, I don't think that at all. We say, awesome, yes. And here's why. It's not simply just to be like, look how many different flavors we have. Hooray! No, there's an incredible growth that only occurs when we stop creating straw men and straw women. See, we love this, put the same of tribalism. We love the safety feeling like we all think this here. We all put the same bumper sticker on the back of our cars. But you know the people that I have met and I have found in my life that have the broadest understanding of who God is, who humanity is, and the greatest love for others, they have friends and people in their lives that are different from them. And those relationships keep them from creating straw men. I'm like, well, that's obviously a dumb idea, and we all know it. You're like, I don't know. Beth thinks that, and Beth's kind of cool. Or Chuck thinks that. And he is not a homicidal maniac. Maybe I have to understand that there's a diversity that God has created. And God's goal in creating people is that we didn't all think the same thing. We didn't all get on the same page. We didn't all look at each other and say, we all agree on this, right? Ready, set, go. No. No. We want to welcome that in because, this is what's so important, it created a way to the one God theology. If there's one God, then God has created a world of great diversity. It's all around us. There's not just one tree out there, is there? And there's not just like one right tree and all these other very wrong trees, right? Where we live, it's like, well, the evergreen, that's clearly the right tree. Green all year round. Prickly needles, which are nice. You need to dig something out from under your nails. And you go to Hawaii. Have you seen how wrong they are with these palm trees? All flouncy and celebrating left and right. More people are killed per year by falling coconuts than shark attacks. Did you know that? Palm trees are the wrong kind of tree. And yet we do this with people. There's a right kind of people implied and there's a wrong kind of people. And we want to say, no, no, no more of that. We're going to listen and learn. And going back to our value of intentionality, how are we going to listen and learn? About 2 seconds longer than you feel comfortable. About 2 seconds longer than you feel comfortable. You're like, but I have unfollowed so many people on Facebook. This is wrecking my thing. Next one, and you're not supposed to have favorites, but this one's kind of my favorite. Curiosity. We want to be a church that values curiosity. We recognize there's more that we don't know about God in the world than what we do know. And we lean into mystery with questions and openness to grow. When I was growing up, we had a very fixed diet in my home. There were foods that we ate, and there was foods that we did not eat at all. And if we ever encountered what we would consider a weird food when we went out somewhere, it was like obviously meant to be rejected. They have placed it on my plate to be rejected. You're trying to feed me an artichoke? Is this a joke? I don't even know which part of this thing to eat or how to eat it. And see, when I first encountered, it was ingrained in me, you encountered something different than what you knew, your reaction was to reject, to push it away. And you know, it started to become much more about food. Certain times in my life, I would be just going around, cruising through life, and all of a sudden I'd have this burst of anger. I would get really, really upset. And what I learned is my anger that came out and made me look like maybe not as awesome of a guy I'd like to think people hope that I am, think that I am, I would reject it like someone put an artichoke on my plate. When people would think about this new idea, hey, I was listening to so-and-so and they were saying this, and I was thinking, oh, that's an artichoke, man. I'm not interested in that. But here's what seems to be true. Is when we stop rejecting things that are different than what we experienced, and we don't just accept it all. For heaven's sakes, no. You don't just have to accept everything that's different. But how about we get curious? Tell me more about that. Where did you hear that? Where did you? And I love how this extends to our own internal lives. Do you get a flash of anger that surprises you? Don't shove it away like a stray artichoke. Ask some questions. Why? Why did I get so upset? Why did that frustrate me so much? What's going on inside? I think a community of people that are more curious about their internal life and more curious about the world that exists is a fuller, richer community that is seeking to understand one God behind it all, operating and speaking in to it all. And here's the biggest thing that I think it protects against. Are you ready? Fear. We are a people that have survived and operated mostly by fear. And I experience something different than what I'm used to. When I experience something, trust, not quite sure, I reject it, I push it away, and I'm afraid of that. I can't trust that thing. But if instead we get curious and we ask some questions about what it is, it doesn't mean you have to accept it all, but it can keep you from becoming afraid. And what's interesting to me is fear is something we talk about when we get back to that straw, like some other people over there deal with fear. Come on. Let's be honest for just a second. We all have fears, deep, deep fears about certain ideas, about certain people, about certain things. And how do we ask more questions about why those are there and what's really going on? Next is we want to be a community of prayer. When I was growing up, my background is I grew up in a fairly conservative Christian home. It was beautiful, a conservative Christian church where these were the values, these were the things that we are about, these are the things we're right on, and these are the things those people are wrong about. I remember growing up, I grew up in a covenant church, kind of mainline Protestant church. And in the same town, we had the Assemblies of God church. And we're like, oh my gosh, they are so wrong about so many things. I felt like most of the time it was talking about the way that we did church, why it was right, and why they did church was wrong. And what I learned about prayer is that prayer was this mechanism where I asked for stuff. And what I learned throughout life is early on when I would just ask for stuff, I was probably asking the wrong way or I was asking selfishly. So I learned that ultimately prayer isn't just asking for stuff. Prayer is about asking stuff on behalf of other people. And so it was this place where I would just say, God, I hope that you would help my Aunt Bertha, and she has that creaky knee. And secretly I'd be hoping, I really hope Aunt Bertha is praying for me right now, otherwise I'm not covered. And it was this kind of simple mechanistic understanding that that's what prayer is about. We want to create a value of prayer that's deeper and richer than that. That prayer is a place where we take all of our hopes and our fears and we're able to set them loose by stepping into this experience of God. Where we direct these things up to God and we say, God, would you lead out? Would you inform and would you bring life to this world? And would you bring life to my own life as I am able to speak these things and put them out? Prayer is something that I will admit, in certain understanding of life and the world and how I knew them, there was a long period in my life where I just stopped praying. Because I was pretty sure I was just doing it wrong. And coming back to a new understanding of prayer is this is bigger than I thought it was before. This is better than I understood it before. My understanding of prayer was too narrow and limited and simple. It has to be bigger than that. And we want to be a place that engages deeply in prayer. We bring our most honest self to bear in the presence of God, and we watch God do some amazing things, transform us in that process. Last thing that we want to be about as a community is advocacy. This, again, is why we set up the backdrop of the tribal God versus one God. Advocacy becomes the heartbeat of one God people. Because no longer, when I'm in my tribe, do I pray for the success of my people and silently or not so silently root for the demise of others. But rather, I see myself connected to all people. And when there is a suffering of any one person, there is a suffering that I feel too. Too often in life, we make decisions based on what's best for us, what would benefit me, my people. And as we step into a political season, a lot of our decisions when it comes to politics has to do with, will I be okay? Will the people closest to me and the people that I love be okay? But what does it mean to understand politics in a global sense and to say, how does this impact others? How does this impact other folks that are different than me? And how do I stand on behalf of other people? The definition, as we talk about, is we fight for injustices with those who have been treated insignificantly by individuals, systems, or indifference. Here's the other thing when we talk about advocacy. A lot of times with advocacy, we have like our thing. This is the thing that we're all about. And what we want to say is there are things out there that we're not even aware of yet. There are people being mistreated, ignored, and that's why that's so important that we put indifference in there. We don't even know that we should be caring about this thing, but as we become aware, we work with people to see God transform and to bring, as we say in our vision statement, heaven to earth. It's just about time for lunch. It's about time to wrap this up and go. This ends with an invitation. This thing that we're talking about, it's not going to happen because a small enough group of us settle on these values and along with our heart for diversity. We need you. And actually falling along with our heart for diversity, if there's any part of this where you're like, I am not on board with that. Oh, we need you even more. We need your questions. We need your pushback. We need your wrestling with it. We want to create a community where people feel welcome and people feel safe, and we can't do it without you. And it shapes and forms the kind of church we want to be, a church that we feel like is safer. There's more questions, there's more wrestling, there's more humility, and there's more welcome. And we can't do it alone. It has to be bigger. It has to be expanding. Would you consider joining us? Not just attendance, but with true presence to be here, to experience our community, like to partner at Keller, to say, what would it look like to work with the kids? What would it look like to partner at Kelly Elementary? What would it look like to join in with the things that are happening in this church? Because you have friends and folks in your life, you may be this person that are done with church. There's too many messages they've received from churches or about churches. There's something that's never been interesting enough for them to pursue, or they've been a part of a church and they've been hurt and they've been burned and they're done. We want to partner with you and create a community for them. A door that's open for them. And we want to join with you in creating language that you can have conversations about this type of community with your friends, and you can invite them to come join you. Some of you might be saying, I don't have it all figured out. I don't think I'm Christian or churchy enough. Perfect. Please. It's exactly what we need. And some of you are saying, I think I might be too churchy for this thing. Perfect. You're exactly what we need. I hope you hear the heart behind Cascade and what we're trying to do. And I hope that you will consider joining us and being a part of this thing as we see it forward. Would you pray with me? Lord, this is too big for us. It's too big for me. It's too big for any group or section of leaders. God, we need you and we need all of us. God, would you stir in us a heart for our neighbors, a heart for our enemies, a heart for all people, God, that you have created and you have made. And God, I pray that you would stir and move in us to be the kind of community that God celebrates curiosity, that steps into relationships, into life intentionally, that God's a reflection of diversity, that God is steeped and comes to you and accesses our relationship with you through prayer, and God, a church that works to advocate for those who don't have a voice or those who have been treated insignificantly. Stir in us, move us, and God, help us look and be more like you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. So as we go, please come next door. We have all this food, and who's going to eat it if it's not you, right? It's wonderful pulled pork. It comes from an actual restaurant. Someone didn't just make this in their bathtub, so it's real good stuff. And at 12:30, and I want you to know, this next thing is really, really important to me personally. This feels like a redemption moment. Last year, we had the ice cream truck come, and I was certain they were going to play the ice cream truck music when they pulled up. And he pulled in just bone silent, no music whatsoever. I was on the phone with the owner of Ice Cream Express this morning at 9 a.m. And two different times we went over the ice cream truck music playing and how significant that was to me and this community. So at 12:30, I hope that you will be out there. And if that truck pulls up and decides not to play, may we collectively, and whatever our memory stirs, sing out ice cream truck music together to welcome in this ice cream truck that will have push pops and like Ninja Turtle ones. You can even get Haagen-Dazs, folks. Haagen-Dazs is at this ice cream truck. It will be fun, and it'll be a chance to sit and be together. So would you stand? May we be a community that is knit together by God, that is founded on the hope and grace and redemption of Jesus Christ, that goes out into all the world and invites them to participate in the story of one God who calls us and loves us and leads us ever forward. Amen and amen. Let's go get some food.
Precious Savior, you are faithful.